I Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hey, guys. Welcome to another episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. That's right. It's a female voice. It's me. Yay! Vanessa Grimaldi's back. I haven't left this podcast. I've been away for a couple of days. Dean is in studio. Jared, I think, is out at a charity event. But I'm very excited to be back. Very excited for our two guests that are coming on today.
Mm-hmm.
One being a quote-unquote, apparently, ex-boyfriend of mine.
It's going to get heated.
Alex, I don't even know how to say his last name. Bordakowski?
You guys dated for 6 months. You don't even know how to say his last name?
I don't know how to say his last name.
Wow.
And my girl, Taylor Nolan, who was on Nick's season, is going to be coming on and talking to us about her relationship. She's doing the long D, and she's going to give us some advice on that.
She's doing the long D. That's pretty funny. So we have Alex on hold at the moment. We'll get him on in 1 second. But before we do, I'm sure our listeners out there listened to last week's podcast, of course, because why wouldn't you? In last week's podcast, my good
friend. Can I start? So I was listening. So I'm like, oh my God, I missed the boys. So I was on my way back from Maine with my boyfriend in the car, 5 hour drive back. Did a little, 2 hour stop at Target. So nice. we were listening to the podcast and I was fast forwarding it. Cause I'm like, oh my God, I can't wait to hear Alex. He's going to be hysterical on the podcast. And it starts right at the point where he's like, yeah, well, we dated for however long he had said, and the sex was great, but everything else is terrible. I was like, and I look at my boyfriend and I'm like, he's like, you guys dated? I was like, no. I'm like, in my head, I was so confused. I'm like, does Alex actually think we dated? Like, we didn't have sex, so he can't think that we actually dated. But I'm sure he's on listening to this conversation right now. So
no,
this episode,
he can't hear anything we're saying. Right,
just so activated his line just this first second.
Oh, no, but I still wanted to do a little bit more.
All right, hold on, Alex, hold on. All right,
so,
you're clear.
Yeah, so as Vanessa stated, last week's podcast, we talked about how Vanessa and Alex allegedly dated. Alex, I know him well, and I know that he's being sarcastic.
I know his sense of humor, too, so I was laughing so hard.
I think it's hilarious
yeah.
that your boyfriend was in the car, though, because that's just his awkward timing. Anyways, like I was going to say, for our listeners, listen to last week's episode before listening to this, if you haven't already, and it'll help provide some context. But we have Alex on the phone. He is, I mean, I'm sure he's just going to sit there with his tail between his legs and apologize vehemently, but
as he should.
So Mark, now can we get him on the phone? Hey, Alex, how's it going, man?
Good. How are you?
Long time no talk.
Alex.
Oh, hey.
It's been a while since I didn't send you some threatening text messages.
Oh, they weren't threatening.
They weren't at all. So I wanted to start off by saying I just said this before, I was laughing hysterically. So I'm like, I know your sense of humor and I can't even be mad at you. Cause I'm like, I know Alex, but not everyone, like Jared was confused too. And so was my boyfriend in the car. He's like, what, you guys dated? And I'm like, no, we didn't date. I love you so much. Like, I find you hysterical and you're just like such a smart human being. And I'm like, I don't want anyone. First of all, I was just like annoyed cause that's how rumors start, right?
Well, yeah, I'm surprised people actually bought it because it was such a hyperbole. I didn't think anyone was even going to, give it any light. Obviously, we have a great rapport between you and I that I knew. I was like, oh, I'll make this joke. I wasn't even thinking. I just wanted to say something outlandish because I was giving Dean a hard time in the moment. Yeah, I'm like, people bought it. And it wasn't best taste, especially without you being there. So I do apologize. Obviously, I meant no disrespect. But you know what the funniest part is you texted me back and said, ha, it's funny you thought the sex was good. That was...
I did.
What's so funny about the sex being good, I guess, is the question.
Well, because I made that joke. I was like, oh, sex was good. Everything was terrible. And that's something I say to, like, all my guy friends, like, about... Like, if, oh, we should just date. I'm like, yeah, sex would be good, but everything would be terrible.
Well, no, I get that, but why is the sex being good funny?
Oh, I thought it was.
The joke is, if the sex is good, being funny means that your sex typically would be bad.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the point.
Oh.
That's
the joke.
No, I was... Okay, I didn't take it like that.
It's okay.
Well, obviously, I take most of things with a lot of levity and sarcasm. And you guys know me, but maybe your followers or your listeners aren't as, as knowledgeable of this. So I do apologize. I didn't mean to stir any drama. This is the most drama I think I've ever caused. I know Dean was loving it.
Well, Alex, it's funny.
Oh, yeah. Dean loves the drama.
It's funny, actually, Alex, that you mentioned that, because on the other line at this very moment, we have Caroline Lunny, who's going to be joining us.
I would love that. You know what? Actually, I felt kind of bad because I underplayed our relationship a little bit, I felt, almost. You know, I mentioned something along the lines that I was, you know, I was a little more reticent when it came to sharing about my life. But I didn't mean to knock down on people that do share it. It was just like a contrast statement towards like where I'm a little more reserved. Some people are more comfortable with sharing their lives. I know you guys do, obviously. And it came off a little negative. So I didn't mean to say that either.
I don't know, man.
It's not that way.
I like last week Alex a lot more. He was vindicated in his statements. He was opinionated.
Yeah, because he knows I'm on now. So he's watching himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to now because I came in, you know, I was waiting for you for an hour at Domino's. So I came in ready to go punch it. And that's what you have to do every time now. Like, you have to get me rallied up a little bit before you invite me.
Nothing is on accident, Alex. You think I left you on at Domino's for an hour on accident?
What did I say? I didn't want to take anything back from Paradise. I meant the drama, and I think I got a couple games like, wow, what a dick. Like, I didn't mean to take anyone home from Paradise.
Oh my gosh.
The exposure doesn't follow you, the drama. So I loved it. I mean, honestly, I thought it was a great, great podcast. I actually listened twice to it after.
Oh my God, love yourself.
No, because I was like, I need to correct all these mistakes.
Sorry to interrupt. Correct your mistakes, Alex. I don't think you and Vanessa dating for 6 months is a mistake.
We did not. People are probably going to start listening from this point on and thinking that it is true. Alex and I never dated. I absolutely adore you. When I found out you were on Bachelor in Paradise Australia and Caroline was there, I was like, oh my God, you guys need to like... I was like, I would so ship this relationship. And I even messaged her yesterday. I'm like, dude, we did not date. And she's like, no, I know. I told him to apologize to you. Because I'm like, I'm friends with Caroline.
She texted me also. I definitely heard about this. And I want to apologize to everyone affected except for Dean. Dean, you're welcome.
It's fair. Thank you.
I don't know. Do I owe anyone else apology?
Maybe Mark and Easton would probably appreciate one, Jared.
Yeah, you know, I didn't acknowledge the, you know, how good looking they both are.
Yeah.
And I should have, you know, I held back. You guys are studs.
Yeah. Thank you.
So are you. Yeah.
Well, Alex, I mean, thanks for being a good sport, man, and jumping on the phone and clearing
the
air.
Yeah, Alex, we love you.
Anytime you want me to cause drama and clear it up, I'm here for you.
Let's talk more about Dean next time.
Alex, who's next on your radar, do you think? Which Bachelor former cast member are you going to set your sights on?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think gonna stay away from the Bachelor Nation for a little bit. I'm gonna try the normal life.
Smart man.
Dean, what about you?
I think we all could take a page out of Alex's book and just stay the heck away.
Well, I can tell you where Dean is going.
Please
straight
do.
To Montego Bay, baby. All right, Alex, thanks so much for joining us, man. We really appreciate it.
Thanks
for clearing the air.
Apology accepted.
We'll see you soon, all right?
Thanks for having me. All right, take it easy, guys.
All right,
bye.
So there you have it.
Oh, my God. First of all, Alex is like one of our listeners. I don't know if you know that. One episode we were talking about, I started crying about wanting, I think it was just Mark and I. Mark, remember that episode when we had a girls talk and you're like, Vanessa, do you want kids? And I just started crying. You're like, oh my God, did I see something wrong?
Yes.
And I'm like, no, it's because I've always wanted kids. Yeah.
I
felt so bad. I'm like, it's nothing that you said. It's just something that I want so badly. Alex ended up texting me that day and was like, I don't know if it's a good idea to get to freeze your eggs. Cause apparently he like does a lot of research on things. So he's like my go-to guy whenever I need advice on something specific. Cause he's a wealth of knowledge.
One of my friends is turning 35 next week, and she is single and has no children. And it's funny because we were talking, and she said how she has been encouraged to freeze her eggs.
Mm-hmm.
And I obviously mentioned you and how you know, my friend Vanessa was thinking about the same thing. And then she says there is no person that's been born of a frozen egg is over the age of 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 or however old, right? There's no 70-year-old human being from a frozen egg. You have no idea the health risks that go into the idea of freezing your eggs in that human later on. And I never thought about that
I didn't think about that either.
And she said that's one of her main deterrents for freezing her eggs. She wants it to happen naturally.
Well, because then there's the reverse that can happen too, right? If your eggs are I don't know too much about it, so I don't know if I'm saying even makes sense. Yeah. But if your eggs are a little bit more mature, then I think there's a risk after the age of 35. I'm not sure of the exact number. You have to do a test to see if there's any complications with the baby.
Right. Well, I know post 35 years old as a woman, it's considered a geriatric pregnancy, which in my opinion is kind of ridiculous.
Isn't it?
And I know
I'm 31, Dean. I'm turning 32 in a couple of months.
I know. And you don't look a day over 24.
I love you, but my eggs feel it.
You can feel
my eggs feel 32. My eggs feel 32.
I'm just saying, I appreciated her approach on it. My friend that I was just talking about, because she just says like whatever is will be. And I know you have that same approach as well. But how are things looking with you and the BF? Is there any progress made in
so
that
good
realm?
Someone had just messaged me like, "Oh, I see love and happiness. Do I see a wedding anytime soon?" And I'm like, this is the first relationship that I'm actually taking it slow.
Yeah.
And, I think for me, I've been someone that loves, I remember like Amy being like, "Slow down, Vanessa. You're putting way too much energy and thought into a relationship." And I'm like, cause I want one so badly.
Yeah.
And we ended up meeting out of the blue. And it went really quick at the beginning. And I feel like there's a lot that has happened between us from very early on in our relationship that has made us grow a lot stronger. And it could have gone the complete other way. And I feel like, so the old me was so into The Bachelor, like quickly, like being into a relationship, like going full force in and then like getting engaged. And like, I would love that, you know, and I still believe in that. In that process. But as I'm getting older, I'm like, holy shit, it takes a long time to really get to know a person.
Oh, surely.
And I don't know about you, but do you like to know about people's pasts?
You know, I like to say that it wouldn't affect my viewpoint on anyone, but I think it kind of does, regardless of whether we want to believe it or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like, how much do you want to know about someone's past? Ooh, this is a good topic, because I love being a detective.
I would love to know every minor detail. As honestly and fully described as possible. Yeah, I think so. Would you not?
Yeah, but I feel like most girls are like that. Most men don't really want to know. All the
like you're saying, like a mum's a word sort of thing. I mean, I have run into some issues in the past where I've learned some things of like former interests that I didn't like, and then I was like getting down on myself for even letting that affect my opinion of that person, you know, or those people. And so like it's easier to not know things, I think, but at the end of the day, like if you're really fully truly gonna love someone, you should know everything about them.
I absolutely agree. I think it's a catch-22 though, because I believe that too. I want to know everything there is to know about the person.
Yeah.
But at the same time, sometimes it's hard not to judge or to get jealous about a person's past or
I've started to like really enjoy it because like I have a kind of dodgy past, like from like shoplifting to like doing drugs to getting arrested to like all these things that I've done in my life, and I've used to like kind of like shy away from sharing those things, but now I'm just like, that's a lot of what makes me who I am today, and I kind of own that in my, I don't know, I just think it's kind of fun, you know, it's kind of
fun. I think if you don't have anything that like crazy or not even crazy, just like if you don't have a history, then for me, that's scarier because that means there's a lot that you still need to learn and do and explore and go through. So good thing that you did all the shoplifting when you were younger.
Yeah, when I was 15. Well, so you kind of dodged the question about you and Josh a little bit.
Oh, okay. I mean, it's going great. I've never been in a relationship that is just healthy, you know, like healthy in the sense that I know I can be someone that could be a lot to deal with in the sense that I like spending time with the person I'm dating. I like for them to spend time with my family, and we have very similar interests when it comes to that.
Yeah. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I don't think. I think that's great.
No. Yeah. But I think for some people, like I dated this one guy who couldn't handle it.
Right. You're engaged to him.
No. This other guy.
I'm just messing with you. Well, I guess what I wanted you to maybe speak more clearly on was Have you and Josh talked about children at all? Because I know, like,
Oh yeah.
It is a very important thing to you. And so what is the result of that conversation that you typically have with him about that?
He wants kids.
He does.
And that made me so happy. He wants kids. And apparently his sister was telling me, like, this is the first time I hear Josh ever say that he can't wait to start a family.
You guys would have some freaking good looking children.
Aw, Deanie. Would you babysit?
I'll be like the fun uncle. Yeah, gladly.
Okay, just for an
hour or so. Just to take them to the park to, like, hit on girls or something like that.
Oh my God, that'd be hilarious. Yeah, when they're 30, that'd be fine. He's like really family oriented and wants kids. And I think it's important, like, he's Jewish. Uh-huh. I'm Catholic, but I'm not religious. Like, I'm not super religious. He's not super religious either. And what I love about his family is they love learning about different cultures and different religions around the world. And they're so inclusive to all of that. And I think it's important to bring a child into this world that, is open to all this wealth of knowledge that exists around us, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, no, I'm very happy. Good. But taking things slow.
And any talk of an engagement coming up anytime soon?
Dude, the thing is, like, TMI, but he wanted to, when we first met, he was like, oh my God. He told me after, and I'm like, thank God you didn't do this. He wanted to propose to me like months into our relationship. Mm. I'm like, we're not on The Bachelor. Like, you don't need to get down on one knee this quickly. But we just have so much love and respect for each other. And like I said, we've gone through quite a bit in our relationship that made this bond so incredibly strong. And he's someone who loves talking about his feelings, which is rare.
Yeah.
To have.
Well, that's good. That's great to hear. Yeah. It's great to hear that he was even open about that thought that he had. And you guys obviously are still doing really well to this day. I think I agree with everything you're saying. It sounds like everything's trending in the right direction. And I'm super, super happy for you, V.
Deanie, what about you?
No, we're not going to talk about me. We're actually going to get your good friend Taylor Nolan on the phone. But before we do that, we are going to take a quick break.
So that's enough about my love life. But another huge part of my love life is my friendship with the one and only Taylor Nolan, who was on Nick's season of The Bachelor. Tay, are you on the phone?
Hey.
Hey.
Hi, love.
How are you?
Good. We're just talking about, you know, my relationship and how Dean is still single.
How I'm sabotaging the relationship with my friend Alex, talking about your former love affair.
Oh, yeah. Alex called and apologized, but I wanted to talk to you. I mean, I talk to you literally 9 times a day. And
we go to sleep together.
Yeah, we are always, always, always attached to the hip. But I wanted to talk about your relationship because I get a lot of questions about people who are pursuing long-distance relationships, whether that's because they're now, you know, leaving high school and going to different universities. So how do you, well, talk to us a little bit about how you met your now boyfriend. He's Canadian. Yeah. How did you meet him? And how are you making the long D work?
The long D?
The long D.
We met at a conference. And long distance is not my favorite. Like, there's pros and cons to it for sure, but I would definitely prefer to not be long distance. And I think it's really different when, like, you start your relationship in the same place and then have a period of being long distance, as opposed to, like, starting your relationship long distance, which is what I've done. I did have one relationship where we were together and then did long distance, but it's definitely not easy to do.
So do you have anything that you're, like, I know some people say, oh, well, you know, we started this Netflix show and we only watch it at the same time together while we're, like, in different, yeah. So do you do stuff like that to create a stronger bond? I mean, I know you guys don't.
Well, yeah, I'm pretty sure you're asking the question you already know the answer to.
I mean, I just got to give people what they need to hear.
Yeah.
Yes. No. So one thing I recommend doing is doing FaceTime dinners together. Mm. So one thing that I've actually asked him for during this separation period that we have now, one of the things I requested, one of my needs was that I would love for us to do FaceTime dinners. Something I've done in the past where you guys either like make the same thing or just are eating different things, but like you sit down and you have a FaceTime where you're eating together, and like it kind of feels like a little bit of a date night in a way. And another big thing that I love doing that I totally recommend to people is sexy FaceTime. Long distance is real hard when it comes to, you know, your
Dean's face right now.
Relationship. So, Dean, are you making a face at me?
I'm just like smiling.
No,
I'm like, yeah.
He's like, yeah. He's like loving this.
Yeah, the sexy FaceTimes are the best.
So, tell us what goes into a sexy FaceTime.
Okay, well, sexy FaceTime can be many different things. One of the things that I enjoy with sexy FaceTime are like engaging in some dirty talk, discussing like role plays or fantasy type things, some mutual masturbation if you're comfortable with that.
Okay.
But really just being able to like explore each other sexually. You know,
Let me ask you this, because I struggle with a few of these things that you're outlining right now. I don't.
Which one specifically?
Basically all of them. And so I just want to get a better understanding of if there's anything. I struggle with dirty talk in the moment, like when things are getting hot and heavy. I just don't do dirty talk. I struggle even to make.
I can picture you just like smiling, your face like beaming with like this massive smile.
Yeah, it's not the most. I don't know what to call it, but okay. So struggle with dirty talk. I struggle with FaceTiming consistently. Like I don't like to really jump on the phone very often, and then I also struggle with sexual images. So like I don't send, or I've never really asked for like sexy pictures from a significant other. So that's like the triple whammy.
Do you watch porn?
Occasionally.
So one thing I would say in terms of like the dirty talk, I know that can be really hard to like get out of your head kind of.
Yeah.
You can kind of feel a little bit silly starting that.
Uh-huh.
So one way to kind of like ease your way into doing that dirty talk is through sexting. You can kind of like role play out just like what I would want to do to you, and like creating that kind of image in your head, or even referring back in your head to like the last time that you were intimate with that person, and kind of just describing that out via text. That can kind of get you more in the mood and practice doing that, where then when you are in the moment, you might be able to lean into dirty talk more. One thing that sex researchers definitely recommend in terms of having better sex is being more vocal during those acts. So even if you're not necessarily dirty talking, like do you struggle with even just expressing like moaning and whatnot when you're engaged in sex? This is getting real personal, Dean.
I feel like sometimes I have to consciously tell myself to like make noises during sex sometimes. Like, hey, just make sure you're like, just give her like a grunt so you know like you're enjoying it. You know what I mean? Like, because if I had it my way, I don't know, but I would assume that I would be perfectly silent the entire time.
I actually read something that most men don't like making noises when
really
during intercourse. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that comes with being vulnerable, because to express yourself that way during some kind of intimate moment takes a lot of vulnerability. And Dean, you and I have talked, and I'm sure you talk a lot on here about some of the walls that we might have up. And if we've got some walls up, just kind of in the relationship emotionally in general, then that can definitely translate into your intimate moments.
Yeah. I wonder too how every time the word masturbation gets said on this podcast, that we all get kind of like weird looks from the producers, because I don't know if we're allowed to say
that's
it.
Like
but
my favorite topic.
I will not be bleeping that. Just
yes,
for the record.
Yes, heck yes. We went from G to PG today. There's a couple interesting things about masturbation in men, especially where I think we've talked about it before, about how men think they need to get through sex as quick as possible because they're like trained from a young age or conditioned to think like they need to masturbate, get it over with before anyone catches them, and then like kind of hide it. And then also I was going to say, I've obviously been masturbating for longer than I've been sexually active. Thank you very much for the round of applause. And, and I think as a child, as you begin doing that, like, again, you're like, you're being quiet the whole time because like, you're kind of hiding it from your parents and stuff like that. And so then I think that then translates to your sexual life as an adult when you're active. I don't know. It's just a thought.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good point because when you are, I guess maybe more so for men. I mean, when I masturbate, I make noise. But I think I do see that.
I want to record Dean's face this entire segment.
This is great.
Sorry.
No, this is, I love how open Taylor is. So Taylor has her own podcast. Let's talk about it. And you're a mental health counselor. So this is all, that's why you're so knowledgeable and all this stuff. Cause you're so, I mean, you study this stuff. So you're, it comes so natural for you, to talk about all of this. And that's why I love just, you know, Taylor knows my entire life and my entire life with my now boyfriend.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I think there are uncomfortable topics for people to talk about, especially like sexual stuff is definitely uncomfortable. But for me, those are always like the most exciting topics mm-hmm. to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
The most recent episode of the podcast this week was with a sex researcher, who I attended his workshop, and he's done like the largest study on sexual fantasies in America. And learned a lot of great stuff from that. But also just want to get to like the masturbation point. Like Dean, I agree with you. I think that's a really valid possible explanation for why maybe men struggle with being vocal during sex. But I also think in terms of like the masturbation piece that, you know, women are kind of brought up to think that if you are a girl that masturbates, that, you know, that you're just lonely and you can't get a man, or that if you do masturbate, you're like a total slut. And I think it's hard to find that like in between, and especially you know, porn, mainstream porn is very mm-hmm. much suited towards men and is really teaching, you know, some not so realistic ways of actually having sex.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So there's adult filmmaker who I really like called Erica Lust, who I highly yes. recommend to people. It's more kind of like indie porn and feminist porn, and sometimes like the feminist porn can be like really out there where it's like that's actually not what I'm looking for. But Tumblr used to be like a great place for people to like, it had a great community, very very sex positive, where it was like real people. And even in terms of like the texting piece scene, where like you've never sent pictures, you've never asked for pictures. One thing that my current partner introduced me to, that like, I remember I was with Vanessa when it first happened and I was like, what is this? Like, this is so weird. But instead of like sending photos of like yourselves, you like can literally send like gifts, and like different, at least it was on Tumblr, and now there's like new different sites coming up where you can kind of find this content. Where you can literally like play out a role play via sex and like use gifts to kind of like go through and explain it to each other. That's like really actually exciting and really hot.
I'll be honest with you. That doesn't sound very appealing to me. It doesn't sound like it would get me like, you know, aroused. Yeah. Yeah.
I'll take some gifts and then you can tell me.
I don't know if Canada men would appreciate that.
I think I would get a little... I mean, are they gifts of other women or men?
No, so it just depends. I mean, there's literally gifts of, like, all kinds of things.
Oh, yeah,
there's, like,
yeah, I remember. Right.
Yeah, there's, like, videos on there and stuff, too. Sometimes it's, like, literally, like, their faces aren't even in it. Sometimes it's, like, really artsy-fartsy and is, like, black and white mm-hmm. and, like, really cute. I mean, there's literally something for everyone out there. It's just a matter of kind of finding it. And of course, at first, it might feel a little weird, and it might seem like, I don't know if I'm into this or not, but you won't know until you try it. And I think it's important to have an open mind, because you never know right. what will turn you on. I didn't think that the gift would, or that the sex scene like that would, but it's like one of my favorite things now.
I think it's important to also know and feel like you're in a very safe relationship, because there's been relationships mm-hmm. that I'm like, I don't feel like I want to sexually explore with this person because I don't feel comfortable and safe. And the safety mm-hmm. aspect is also like, am I going to be judged? Am I, yeah. you know, like, how is this person going to react if I try something out that I'm not going to be really good at the first time around, or whatever. So the safety aspect of it is definitely a big one.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
That just boils down to trust, I feel like, too, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And trust that they're not going to go around and say shit about you,
right.
you know?
Which I think is something that you should just, obviously, I think Taylor has spoken to this in the past as well, is just take your time to do those types of things, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
obviously, until you fully give yourself to someone, you should have trust for them, so.
Yeah. And I think also, like, in terms of the fear of, like, what other people think, I mean, sometimes you just really have to, like, I don't know if I can swear on here, but sometimes you just say f- that and, like, stick by what you believe in and what you enjoy and really kind of, like, owning that in a way. But, yeah, I think having a partner that you trust and that you feel safe with is, like, the most important piece of all of this, especially with doing long distance, making sure that your guys' boundaries are very clear in terms of what kind of a relationship you're in. If you're in a monogamous relationship, if you're in a consensual non-monogamous relationship, if you're, you know, going to be poly, if you're going to be open, like if dynamics change at all when you do become long distance, because it can bring up a lot of insecurities and a lot of trust issues and a lot of jealousy that I think people can struggle with when they're not seeing their partner on that consistent basis.
Yeah, that makes sense. Let me ask you this. How much of a relationship should be sex-centric? I don't know how this became a sex topic for like a sex podcast today, but I guess the...
Because I came on.
Yeah, I guess that must be why. I guess the reason I'm asking is because how much of an emphasis should you put on sex in your relationship, long distance or not? Like how... Not like how often should you be having it, but how much of an impact should it have on your relationship, I guess is my question.
How much of an effect or how much of an emphasis?
Emphasis. Because effect, I mean, obviously, well, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it really depends on the couple. If someone in the relationship has a really high sex drive and the other person has a lower sex drive, then there could be potential difficulties there that they would really need to, like, hash out. If both people in the couple have a low sex drive, then that might work for them. If both people have a high sex drive, then there's definitely going to be more of an emphasis there. But I think you can certainly have a very fulfilling relationship without at a high emphasis on sex. You know, when you do look at long-term monogamous relationships, passion does go down within the first, like, 2 years.
Yeah.
Or sorry, it starts to go down after the first 2 years. So it's not like... In most long-term relationships, there's a huge emphasis on sex anyway,
right.
Where it kind of becomes a sense of a partnership. But I think, again, to maintain your own sexual satisfaction, which we all have some layer of, that it is important to kind of spice it up however you can and not necessarily having more sex, but just having better quality sex. Studies have shown that... when couples actually were, like, encouraged or attempted to increase the amount of times that they had sex, that they actually felt less happy and reported lower rates of satisfaction and felt like it was something that they had to do, which is something I think a lot of people struggle with. Whereas when couples kind of maintained about the average was having sex once a week was when people reported that higher level of satisfaction. And that's any kind of sex act, whether it's oral or masturbation type, or like actual intercourse. So I think it's really having an emphasis on like the quality of sex that you're having and making sure that both people feel satisfied with that.
We also had, I think, a sex expert that came on our podcast a few episodes ago, and he was asking us, how many times a week do you think you should be intimate with your partner? And I was like, I don't know, like 3 times? He's like, every day. And intimacy does not mean having sexual intercourse. It could be sitting on your partner's lap, giving them a kiss on the cheek, hugging them for 10 seconds, and that builds a stronger bond between the both of you. And it doesn't, the emphasis on just a sexual aspect of it doesn't take that much of a priority if you're being physically intimate with that person that you're dating.
Yeah. So everything that you do in your relationship is foreplay. The Gottmans, who are like world renowned couples researchers, estimated or found in their research that it was the 6 second kiss was, ideal for the couples that really kind of succeeded, who they called masters of relationships, who reported really high marital satisfaction of having a 6 second kiss per day.
I'm going to try that after this podcast.
Yeah, because, I mean, you think about it, some days you go days, you know, where your partner needs to have a peck or, you know, you hold hands or something, but there isn't that, like, intimacy there of, you know, that really kind of kiss that feels, like, meaningful and that you actually feel connection afterwards. So I always joke with my partner since we're long distance that, you know, we're missing out on all our 6 second kisses. So when we do see each other, we need to have, like, 1,000 kisses.
You and I? I'm kidding.
And our long-distance relationship with each other, Vanessa?
I mean, we do have a long-distance relationship, but I can't wait to see you. Tay, thank you so much for your wealth of knowledge and for... We didn't think this conversation was going to turn into a sex topic, but Dean's very happy.
Yeah.
So you can listen to all of Tay's podcasts called Let's Talk About It with Taylor Nolan, and you can follow her on her Instagram page, Tay Mocha, T-A-Y. Yeah, Mocha, M-O-C-H-A.
Thanks, Tay. We appreciate you calling in. We appreciate you
talking about everything
that you talked about, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, Dean, if you ever want to talk more, let me know.
I'll send you some gifts. Thanks, Tay. See you later. Okay, we actually have one more guest that I want us to get
to. One more.
But before we do that, we're going to take a quick break. Okay, and we are back, and up next on the phone, we had to do it. We weren't going to do it, and I kind of jokingly teased the idea of having Alex's former flame, because we already have one as a co-host in Vanessa.
Oh, God.
But Caroline Lunny, who was also on Bachelor in Paradise Australia, she and Alex seemed to couple up basically almost instantaneously as soon as they got there. But, Caroline, are you there?
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, love.
Hi, how's it going?
It's so great to have you on the air here.
Oh, nice to kind of, I guess, meet you, Dean.
I know. Well, it's the pleasure is all mine. I was just talking to Vanessa. She says that you guys are internet friends.
We've been trying so hard to get together whenever I'm in Florida or Miami, and or so we were somewhere else too at one point at the same time, and we didn't ever meet up, and it makes me so sad. But I should be in Florida soon. So we're
cold, so I haven't made it up there yet.
It feels like summer today, but you can never trust the weather out here. But I'll come and visit you.
Well, and Caroline, you live in Florida, right? So especially from Florida to Canada is a big climate change. Climate difference.
Anywhere to Montreal, huge climate change.
Canada in the summer is beautiful, but that's all I can handle.
Well, Caroline, okay. So obviously, as you well are well aware, Alex was on our podcast last week. I don't know if you're well aware of that, but
I have no idea.
Right?
But
remember that rumor we started?
Alex and I are really good friends.
Are you? I had no idea.
And we just wanted to get you on the phone. We would love to hear about your experience with Bachelor in Paradise Australia. And just kind of how all of that went. And, you know, Alex, he's like a very desensitized, kind of calloused, yes, like logical individual, like unemotional, yes, unempathetic.
No,
what's funny is I can empathize with his lack of empathy, if that makes any sense. And maybe that's why we get along so well, is because we kind of, you know, are difficult in that same way. So just, do you mind explaining to the listeners your side of the whole Bachelor in Paradise Australia thing? Because from what I saw, it seemed like you guys, you guys got along really well, right?
No, I actually hated him at first.
Why?
Well, I mean, he comes up, like, I just walked in and we sat down and he's like, don't trust the producers. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, so like, tell me, like this is the first time him that I had met in person.
Yeah.
And then it was just very, like, he's very cynical. And I just was like, all right, well, that's a no. And I you know, went on a date with
somebody
else.
Did you say Alex is cynical?
No, Alex never. Yeah,
Alex to be cynical.
As far as I think being on a television
the show,
set, he's very cynical towards that.
He's positive in other ways, but like, it's funny because in a TV show, I'm honestly not really sure why Alex had any interest in going on a television show like The Bachelor, because he is quite cynical about it, but he likes to say it's a social experiment that he's conducting, which is very, very
he's doing his research.
I love it.
Yeah, he's always conducting social experiments.
Uh-huh.
So I ended up taking his friend Richie on a date, but the thing that's weird about Paradise in Australia, if you ask someone on a date, if they say no, they have to go home.
Huh.
So I was kind of led into asking Richie. They were like, why don't you ask Richie on a date? And I'm like, okay, sure, whatever. Of course, Richie's got like something serious going on, or as serious, I guess, as Paradise can be in the small time frame that you're there. But, so like I knew that my date with Richie wasn't going anywhere. And then it's funny because Alex thinks he came in and, like, saved the day and, like, pulled me off of Richie. And I was just like, well, I knew the whole time that this wasn't going anywhere because he told me no weather, but you don't see that in editing. And then...
Wait, Alex, what did he tell you? I didn't catch the last part. What did he say?
Sorry, there's so much here, and I'm trying to figure out where to how to navigate the story. But so when I asked Richie on a date, Richie had said, I'm actually seeing this girl Cass. So he essentially said no to me taking him on a date. So, and then producers were like, you can't say no, you have to go. And I'm like, well, this makes me feel great.
Yeah.
So loved and so wanted here. But we went, and I knew it was just strictly like a friend thing, and I just was happy to go on a date that, you know, was like a good date. I feel like I hadn't had a good date in Bachelor, my experience with the Bachelor. So even though I knew it wasn't going anywhere, it was still really fun. And then I came home, and, you know, Cass and Richie got back together, and I started talking to Alex.
Aww. Well, so your quote-unquote relationship flourished outside of the show. Well, started. Well,
started on the show.
Like, no, this was on the show.
Yeah.
So it happened, like when I got home to like Paradise
Home
Resort or whatever.
Back to the resort. Yeah.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
And that's when it started to blossom and take off. And then you guys, that's, I guess, so I was wrong in the beginning too, because then it wasn't instantaneous. It was a slow burn. But then once it started burning, it.
The thing was, is like, I honestly didn't know what I thought. But the thing that's really cool about Australia is that they take your mic packs at a certain point in the night, you know, cause like in the US it's like, unless you're, in the shower or asleep, you're mic.
Yeah.
And so it's cool because in Australia you have all this time at night to have completely, you know, free conversations without a camera in your face and without a mic pack on. And so that's where Alex and I really got to know each other, because I feel like that's when he's more comfortable when he knows he's not being watched.
Right. Well, and especially as two Americans on an Australian TV show, I talked to him a little bit about this last week, is I feel like they didn't make it a point to make your guys' love story as much a part of the storyline as their Australian contestants. Because the Australian audience didn't recognize you guys quite as much, right?
I mean, I get it. They're not as invested in us as they would be someone else that they know. But I don't think Alex and I, our relationship was that, it took a while. Like, it really was a slow burn. Like, we got a great edit where it seemed like it was all lovey-dovey the whole time. But it took a minute, just because I think I was a little hesitant, just because I did come all the way to, you know, in Fiji to meet someone who actually lived, you know, 20 minutes from my house.
Yeah, he owns a house in Fort Lauderdale right next to yours, which is hilarious.
No, I think he might be in Florida now.
Yeah.
Is he?
You're probably sitting in the same room as him right now, aren't you?
I almost drove to his house and lost it on him earlier. Decided not to.
So, okay. And so what happened after Paradise? Because I keep saying this, but like, you know, Alex is a man of very few words, especially when it pertains to his emotions and his relationships.
And obviously, I'm not.
And I love that about you, Caroline.
Yeah, but that's the thing. So thank you, Vanessa. I appreciate that. But it was like a huge thing with Alex and I. Just because I am who I am and I don't hold back and whatever. Like, and if I love something, I let it know. If I hate something, like, I wear my heart on my sleeve, good, bad, or ugly. But yeah, so I don't even know. What's the question again? There's so much here. There's so much.
Well, get into it. We got time.
what's the question again? I'm like nervous.
What happened after Paradise? Because so you guys left separately, but like on good terms, or maybe go walk us through the departure. And then, because I know like he mentioned last week that he was out in Florida to visit you a couple times as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was weird because, like I said, it was a slow burn. And then when we left Paradise, we decided to leave Paradise together. But it was weird because, like, you're leaving Paradise together, but then you're, like, when the cameras are off, you, like, came to my hotel room, and I was, like, do you actually like me? Or, like, are you just, like, hamming it up for TV? And we, like, had this moment where we, like, looked at each other really weird, and we were, like, oh, okay, like, I do kind of like you. Okay, like, let's just keep it going and see what happens. And then I think he came to see me, like, the next weekend in Florida. And, you know, we had a good time. came here and then he came to Boston and like met my family and did like stayed at my mom's house, whatever, for my birthday for New Year's. And then shortly thereafter we realized like it wasn't really going anywhere. And it was great because I had been having really, really bad anxiety. I suffer with it like all the time. And he finally
I can relate to that.
Yeah, I know, it's brutal. Like, I couldn't figure out, like, what, you know, was really causing anything. And then it was weird because Alex said to me, he's like, yeah, like, I don't really know if I see it turning into a relationship. And I, like, had this immediate weight lifted off my chest. And I was like, oh, my God. And, like, me neither. Like, he, you know, he's very Alex. He says it so, like, Russian and cold and very blunt. And he's just like, I don't think I see it turning into a relationship. And I'm like, ouch, dude.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, you know what? Like, me neither. And, like, that's okay. And we stayed friends. Like, we still, like, talk to each other, like, every other day or whatever. I don't know. Alex would just call me when he was bored on his drive home from work. Like, he'd be, like, leaving the office and going to CrossFit every day at, like, 4:47. He would call me, like, I'm like, oh, right on time. Like, but, yeah, we were, like, super, super friendly. But I think when the show started to happen, I got upset with him just because he made some comments that really – like didn't sit well with me, and it kind of painted me in a bad light. Like, it made it seem like I'm just this crazy overshare stage five clinger, and I was like, buddy, like, that's not how it all is. Like, he made me feel stupid, and he was like, you know, like, aww, our relationship was real, and you know, like, how, like, that was, so, like, don't trust all that stuff, like, don't care what anybody else thinks. And I'm like, yeah, you make me seem like an idiot. And then I listened to the podcast the other day, and I just felt like I'm just like this running joke between, honestly, between Dean, you and Alex. So.
Well, I think that he underplays it a lot. He underplays what you guys had a lot. And that's just kind of who he is, his personality.
So, like, that's not fair to do to me when, like, what we had was real. And it's like, and then what he said about, you know, Vanessa and everything. And, like, I get it. The kid has a weird sense of humor. But, like, it's for me when it's like, I know that you cared about me and you can't tell me one thing and then publicly say something else.
Yeah.
Like, that's just like, that's not fair. And it's like, it's not fair to make me feel like a joke when, like, I felt like, you know, it wasn't, I don't know, it lasted forever, but like, we had a blast together.
Yeah.
But like, and he's the weirdest fucking person ever. But like, I really, you know, like, we enjoyed each other's company. So like, and just because it wasn't forever doesn't mean it's like, I didn't appreciate what it was in my life. But I was like, it's not fair for you to keep publicly making it seem like I meant nothing to you and making me seem like a joke. Like, that doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
I think it's also the dynamic that Dean and Alex have together. Like, you bring out, I mean, you guys are just like two goofballs together.
And I get it. Like, I can empathize. Like, I sure. Like,
yeah.
I think what Vanessa was trying to say is just like, we both like to Alex and I like to rag on each other. And I think that kind of extends past us sometimes.
Because I was a part of the room. I was part of the joke, you know? And I was like, what is happening? And I had to, like, do damage control. I messaged Caroline. I was texting him. I'm like, no, this is not true.
Like I said, I was loving it. I was loving all the all the drama.
And Jared was like, what is going on? He had no idea.
It's not fair for me when, like, it's weird because I've never talked to you before, but I have this weird, like, insecurity, like, when it comes to you, because I feel like there's this weird, like, conversation that happens behind my back, and I'm probably just overthinking it, but, like, and I know, and it even comes down to, like, I've heard you guys say about how I was the women tell-all, and, like, at the end of the day, if someone's shitting on one of your people, if someone, like, hurt your person, you're going to, like, have their back. And, like, the way that, like, I've been talked about in the sense that, like, I feel like it's like, oh, Caroline's so dramatic and she's so thirsty. And it's like, everyone's like, oh, it's Caroline's audition for Paradise. Like, when that happened, I had a boyfriend. I had no intention of going on Paradise. And the thing that happened was that I had the okay from producers. I was told exactly what I was and was not allowed to say. But at the end of the day, like, Ari hurt my friend. And, like, if someone hurts your person, you're going to want to be like, hey, you, buddy. And that's what the women tell all was for me.
I mean, hey, I agree with all that. I don't think I ever criticized you for the women tell all thing, have I?
I just feel like there's this weird, like, subtext where I'm just like,
No.
I mean, listen, I feel like that with Dean sometimes too, and we've known each other for a while, so I think it's.
That's probably because I don't know you, and I don't really know your sense of humor in person. But
Dean can say something like sarcastic with the biggest smile on his face, and it's like, what are you?
Hard to dial in on. I can see how it could be confusing.
Yeah.
But I can assure you, at least from my perspective, I've never seen anyone necessarily criticize you for that.
I've never seen anyone say anything about you.
To Vanessa's point too, it's certainly a superpower to wear that emotional ability on your sleeve as you do. And I sometimes get down on myself because I don't have the ability to do that. And I wish I go back and forth on wishing I would be able to, and kind of glad sometimes that I don't. And I think that there is a balance there somewhere. But at the end of the day, I think like if you're able to, like you said, you have your friends back and you are able to be vulnerable and open up emotionally a lot more than others, I think that's at the end of the day a superpower in my opinion. So
Caroline, I could relate because I feel like when I did AFR with Nick, mm-hmm. I don't know if Dean, did you watch our AFR?
I did not.
Anyway, so we ended up being like very honest about the struggles of being in a public relationship and blah, blah, blah. And I got on because I wasn't the girl that was like, oh my god, life is perfect, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like,
cookie cutter rules, like go on the show, they're so happy,
it's not
your life, like yes,
it's not realistic show, yeah. So I totally get that. And another thing that I want to say is when you feel like, because I remember like we were messaging each other back and forth and you were saying things that people were saying or whatever, and when it's about you, you know all the BS that people are saying about you because it's about you. But when it's about someone else, like
I didn't, and then Alex is the one who I have lived ignorantly bliss for all of this time, not knowing what the Reddit was, and then Alex, that mother raw that my like, can you not?
The bleeping that's going to go on this episode.
You need to get rid of that. Like, stop doing this.
Get rid of what?
Alex would like read Reddit out loud to me, and I was like, these people hate
oh
me.
My, are you serious? And he's the one, he messaged me saying never go on Reddit once I sent him that message.
He is so full of shit. He's the only reason I know what Reddit is. I have literally been so ignorantly blessed this whole time, not knowing that there were people who hate me out there. Wow. But yeah, that's a thing.
People are going to hate you whether you do, I don't know, people are going to hate you regardless, but.
Like everyone in general.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, not
yeah.
You. No, Caroline, you suck. We're gonna hate you no matter what.
Yeah,
no.
I know. Let me clarify that.
No, that's definitely right. Thank you for clarifying that. Yeah, well, okay, so what's next for you then, Caroline? Because are we gonna see you on Paradise this year in America?
God, no.
No?
No, no. I'm done. Like the same one. As much as Alex is such a pain in my ass, like, you know, I love the guy. He's great. He's a great person. And he was the perfect, final chapter in this whole Bachelor world.
Yeah.
I did my shows, I did three shows in a little, in about a year.
Uh-huh.
It's exhausting.
Yeah.
But he was, you know, the first two I felt really defeated because you have this idea of what the show can be when you go on. And
yeah.
When it's just so far from you know, what you expected. And so like, the first two were pure garbage. And leaving, you know, Paradise Australia with Alex and having a real relationship come of that, even though the relationship didn't work out, like, I just feel like I got what I wanted out of this. Mm-hmm. And let's just close all that stuff.
I will say, having known and met just a lot of Bachelor guys over the past 2 years, despite all of his shortcomings, which are very, very obvious, Alex is definitely one of the best.
He's solid, yeah.
And I know that, but like, I had to chew him out a little bit.
No, absolutely, and I will say, despite the fact that he underplays a lot of what you guys might have had or still have or whatever it is, he did speak very highly of you in private to me multiple, many, 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 many times. Because obviously, as you know, he kind of filters himself a little bit when. I guess people are listening or cameras are on or all that kind of stuff, but in private he's willing to and able to open up. And so I just wanted to let you know that he has spoken very highly of you many, many times.
Well, that's good. I won't tell him.
Yeah. We don't want to stroke his ego too much. Yeah. And then so beyond Bachelor then, is there anything else that's next for you? And then I guess moving forward?
well, I mean, I'm just trying to make some money doing some real estate stuff. And everyone keeps asking me all the same questions over and over. So I might jump on the bandwagon and I'm trying to put together a little blog or something so yeah. people can stop asking me where to go in Fort Lauderdale for their bachelorette party. So I'll just like go read about it on the blog. So
love it. But bachelorette party, like that's kind of more like event planning type stuff though, isn't it?
But there's people, that's the number one question I get asked is like, gotcha. I'm coming to Fort Lauderdale. Where do I go for a bachelorette party? And I can't like tell everyone everything always. So like, but it's like that. And then it's like other stupid questions. Like, I mean, they're totally valid questions, but I get the questions over and over.
You want to have like, you want to be able to provide like a one sheet for someone that might be visiting somewhere like Fort
Lauderdale. Yeah. And just stuff like that. And just kind of get to know the area. And I love home decor stuff. So just share all that with everybody. And
yeah. Love it.
We're so similar. That's what I'm doing for Montreal too.
Wait, I'm doing that for LA right now.
Oh my God, you guys.
With your van.
with the van, exactly. Well, great. Well, we'll be on the lookout for that. Caroline, thank you so much for taking the time to call in and share all of that. We'll be sure to follow along on your social. We'll be on the lookout for the blog, hopefully dropping soon. And if anyone's listening to this, if anyone's looking at buying, you sell residential, yeah?
Residential real estate in Fort Lauderdale or anywhere in Florida.
If anyone's looking for a home in Florida, hit up Caroline, and she'll give you a great rate. She'll get you. She'll help you close on those deals that you want. So Caroline, thank you again.
Salesman, that was such a great pitch.
No, come on. I know I'm not
that's
the best.
That's a solid plug.
I appreciate the sarcasm.
Well, I'm gonna go over to Alex's house and take his ass.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
This whole podcast has just gone, it's escalated. We got a lot of F-bombs.
There's going to be so much bleeping in this episode.
Lots of F-bombs, lots of talk of masturbating.
Yeah, so people wonder why this show is late today, because we've been bleeping for hours.
Can we please just have one unbleeped show? In R-rated movies, you're allowed one F-word. In a whole year of podcasting, can we have one episode that allows no bleeping?
I don't know what the iHeartRadio policy is on that.
Or I guess PG-13, not R-rated. I said R.
PG-13 with one F-bomb?
Yeah, there's more than just F-bombs. There's masturbation.
Masturbation we're okay with. It's a technical term.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you see this email from Ariel, Vanessa? She says, your boyfriend Josh is exactly who the psychic predicted for you a year ago on one of the podcasts.
I know. I want to, if we can we actually go back to that episode?
We should.
Listen. Yeah.
She said the best partner for you is someone not in the entertainment business, someone who probably never watches reality TV. She said you need someone from outside that world, someone who would ground you and support you instead of competing with you. It looks like you found him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ariel. Yep. It's so true. When I want to talk to Taylor about this, because we're both dating men who are not in the spotlight, who are not familiar with the Bachelor franchise. And I thought it was going to be hard because my life is very public. But once you start learning what the boundaries are, what you're able to talk about, what they're comfortable with you doing and not doing, or not even not doing, just like, you know, let them in the loop. It's makes for a really healthy relationship. So I'm really, really, really happy.
Good. Meg has a question for you, Dean.
Ooh.
Do you feel like you don't want to commit or date because you were hurt so much from from your last few breakups? Do you feel like if you go all in, you're just going to get hurt again?
Interesting.
That is from Meg.
It's funny. Well, I could give a long answer. Do you have a long answer or abbreviated answer?
I think a long, thorough answer is what Meg deserves.
The short, long answer is I don't really know exactly why, but I was going to. It's funny because I had a very, very similar conversation about this just yesterday or 2 days ago. And it actually goes back to my time on The Bachelorette. Well, on my first one-on-one, I think I might have talked about this on this podcast at some point. And we were talking about the loss of my mother before going into the nighttime portion of my one-on-one. And the producer made a comment of saying, if you could go back and erase your memory of your mom, would you do that knowing that she's not in your life anymore? And the obvious answer is no, of course I would never do that. And so then the question holds true now is, would you hold yourself back in a relationship knowing that eventually it might end? If it ends, you'll know that you'll still have positive memories from that relationship. You know what I mean?
Oh, I see. They're connected, these questions.
They're connected. Obviously different situations, but still connected in that sense. And so that's how I have to reflect back on myself and be like, okay, well, if I'm going to dive in fully into a relationship, that ultimately ends up not working out, would I still look back on that relationship with regret, knowing that I still had positive memories and positive things to look back on? Or would I regret diving in fully? And I don't know. I still haven't really answered that question. I think that my unwillingness to get into a relationship now stems from a lot of different reasons. I don't know exactly which one to specifically point out. But I think the fear of loss is certainly one of them. Even though I know it's like, if I do everything to the best of my ability consistently and constantly, then I don't really foresee that happening. But I guess obviously there's always extenuating circumstances. So to answer the question succinctly, yes, but that's just one reason of many reasons.
Okay.
Yes.
Good succinct answer.
Yes.
And this is a tough one from Anonymous. You'd like to get your opinion on, both of you. I've been dating my boyfriend for about 7 months now. We're both 27. Things are going well. I'm the happiest I've ever been. However, a couple of weekends ago, we visited some of his friends, and they all decided to get some cocaine. I told my boyfriend it made me nervous. He told me it wasn't a big deal. Well, the moment he snorted it, I felt so uneasy, I fainted. Yep, I fainted. We talked about it the next day. He was very understanding. I figured it wouldn't come up again because those friends don't live in our city. But the very next weekend, we were at a party, and it came up again. I know that he likes it. I don't want to be a controlling girlfriend. I don't want his friends to judge me for not doing it. What do you guys think? Am I making a bigger deal out of this than it is? This is a tough question. I feel like I have the answers for these, and I don't know what I'd say to this one. Go ahead, Vanessa. You're first.
Sorry. I know. That was like a constipation sound. I don't think that I don't think you need to, A, worry about whether or not his friends think that you're whether or not his friends are judging you. If you're not into doing drugs, you're not into doing drugs. I've never done any drugs in my life. And I once dated someone who was, and it was a very difficult conversation for me to have because I didn't want to judge them. You know, if they were doing it recreationally, I'm like, I don't want them to feel like I'm judging them. I just don't want it done around me.
Yeah.
So that person eventually ended up not doing it anymore. I'm not sure what they're doing now, but I don't think you're making it a bigger deal than if you're not comfortable with something that, I mean, it's drug related, right? If you're not comfortable with dating someone who is recreationally doing drugs, then I don't know. I personally wouldn't be able to handle that.
Yeah.
Especially at, you know, she's what, 27?
Mm-hmm, yes.
I think it comes down to personal preference.
You're in 7 months. Yeah.
I mean, I've dated girls who have, like, I don't really smoke weed. I mean, I do, but maybe a couple times a year.
Weed and cocaine is very different.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, I maybe smoke weed a couple times a year. I've dated girls who would smoke it consistently and constantly. And I know it's like a much, much different situation. But even that, I was kind of like, well, like, that's kind of weird. I don't know if I really like that very much. As far as the cocaine situation goes, it sounds like he's just surrounding himself with the wrong people. And I don't know if he likes it as much as he likes being with his friends. And
right.
I've been in that situation before too. Is like, how honest are we going to get on this podcast? I've never personally purchased or sought the drug out before, but I've done it socially with my friends solely because they're like, hey, we're doing this. I'm like, all right, I guess I'll do it with you guys a few times, you know? And so I would say from the emailer, if she has an issue with that, from what it sounds like it's not an issue with the boyfriend. It sounds like it's the people that he's surrounding himself with. And I've even taken the steps.
But that's an issue too.
Surely. Absolutely. I mean, this was years ago, and I've taken the steps to remove those people that are still doing it to this day, to remove them out of my life. It's just like, I don't know. I just think that she shouldn't overstep her boundaries by saying, hey, you should stop doing this. But at the same time, there's a balance of being like, hey, I have your best interest in mind. And I think that you should go the way of maybe phasing these people out of your life.
So the issue is, if she tells him not to do it, then he won't do it in front of her, but will do it behind her back. Mm. And then you're dating someone that is doing things.
Well, the second he starts doing things behind someone's back is when you know the relationship's going to go down the dumper.
Right. So what I'm saying is, like, to not judge him, because, hey, if someone wants to do something recreationally or whatever the case is, like, that's up to them to decide. But if you're someone who doesn't enjoy that or doesn't enjoy being around it, it's hard to mesh two different types of lifestyles,
right?
Because that's what it is in the end, right?
But then whose responsibility does it fall on? Does it fall on him to stop it, or does it fall on her to be accepting of the idea of him doing it?
I mean, Mark?
Well, I can already imagine how it's going to go when she brings this up to him. Uh-huh. If she says, like, so is this something you're going to be doing? Is this something that's important to you? He's going to be like, I don't know. I just felt like doing it, so I did it. Like, why are you on me like this? Yeah. Like, I can already see him getting really, defensive like that when she comes after. So I think I try to generalize these things as much as I can. Whether it's drugs, whether it's porn, video games, we all have our deal breakers in a relationship and what we can and can't handle. And I think she needs to figure out, is this a deal breaker for her or not? The fact that she wrote to a podcast about it tells me that I think it may be.
Yeah.
It's bothering her more than even maybe she realizes it is, because she took the time to do this. So I think that, I mean, the conversation's going to stink, but I do think maybe you start to pull back a little bit because this may not be the guy for you.
Right. I think maybe feel it out a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Again, I still think it's a friend thing. Like, there's people that he's around consistently on weekends, whether they're from out of town or whether it's the friends that he's with in his town that they live in now, that has a huge, huge influence and effect on them. Those people around.
Okay.
Because absolutely. I've been that guy before, but, you know what I mean?
Okay, but do you want to be with you've been that guy before in your early 20s. He's in his late 20s. Do you want to be with someone who gets easily influenced by his social surroundings? That's another question to ask yourself.
I don't know. It's really up to her to make that decision.
We all are to some degree.
Yeah.
I know so many women who smoke only when they're with a certain group of friends and never any other time. Maybe what if she said to him, look, I'm really not comfortable with this. So I need you to know that.
Yeah.
And I need you to keep that in mind going forward.
And he keeps doing it.
That tells you a lot.
Right.
If that's the case.
But what if he says, what if he comes back with saying, I understand that it means a lot to you and I understand it's important to you, but I'm going to keep doing it. Then she just, I guess it's essentially at that point, then she has all the information she needs to either stay or leave.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. So there it is, I guess. I don't know. We didn't really help her there.
I hate when we don't really give answers. But sometimes talking it out and hearing us talk it out, she thinks of different angles and maybe that helps her in some way.
Let me think. I'm going to make one definitive stance. Just give me a second to think about it.
I can make a definitive stance because I've been in that situation before.
You say drop his ass.
Yeah, I would say drop it. Just because that's how I am. I'm very black and white. We've had this conversation before. It's hard for me to, be in the middle. So I'm someone who is either, you're doing something or you're not doing something. Yeah. And especially, I don't know. I don't know. It's not something I'd be comfortable with.
I guess I just put it all back, bring it all back to me, right? As someone who is very willing to do a lot of things and says yes to a lot of things, I would hate if me doing the things that I do would change someone's opinion of me because of just that. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, my open-mindedness and my, I guess, willing to do those things is one of my favorite things about me. And I would never ask someone to, if they hated it, to stay with me because of it or anything like that. Like, I don't think it would ever be a problem to that extent. But I'm just trying to put myself in his shoes where I like to try new things. Sometimes those things aren't the best things, but sometimes they're good things.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Then you need to be with someone who's just as flexible as you are. Like, you and I dating would be a disaster.
Right. That's taken us this long to realize that.
Ethan and I have been shipping you two for a long time, so that's too bad. Also, 7 months into a relationship, the guy's going to feel like you're trying to change him already, and that's going to be, he's going to bristle.
But here's the thing. If it's 7 months into a relationship and she's experiencing this for the first time with him, it's not a trend. It's an outlier. You know what I mean? And so
could be.
It certainly is.
The first time definitely was an outlier. Then that was her feeling.
2 weekends in a row.
The second time is bothering her now.
I think it's just, I think the 2 weekends in a row thing is just one of those things where it's like, you're going to look back on it 7 months from now and be like, hey, remember that time that you were an idiot? And he's going to be like, yeah.
Maybe.
And then he might do it again in 7 months. It's like, as long as he's not going out, buying it himself, doing it by himself every week, every weekend, that's when I really think problems start to form. Social habits, I don't think, are necessarily the worst things in the world.
So then you got to consider, how much do you like this guy? How much do you see your future with this guy? How much potential does this relationship have? Because that tells you how much you need to kind of tolerate and see what you can get through.
Right. And also maybe ask yourself, do I want the potential father of my children to be someone that does this type of stuff? And if the answer is no, then obviously get rid of him. And if the answer is, well, maybe, then feel it out a little
bit
longer.
Well, maybe if the dad did that when he was 27 and now he's 40 and he's the head of a CEO of some major company.
Yeah. Well, I'd be tight.
Right.
Good for her and him.
I mean, a lot of people have that stuff in their past.
Mm-hmm. Myself included. And it might be my future. Who knows?
Hey, you're just up for whatever.
I'm just up for whatever.
He's up for a party.
What else do we have? Any more emails?
No, we're good. That should do it for today.
Okay. What a great episode.
I have to get bleeping.
We talked about masturbating. We said f*** at least 95 times.
We got exes on the show.
We talked about drug use recreationally. We talked about... That's about it. That's all we talked about today.
Yeah.
anyways, thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Help I Suck at Dating. We hope that you guys are still fans of us as individuals, despite everything we shared today. The date is June 10th. I don't know why I felt like sharing that, but I just thought you guys wanted to know in case you're filling out some legal paperwork today. Big thank you to my great friend Alex B for calling back in and clearing the air. And for apologizing. I think it definitely was out of line of him to say the things that he said last week, but joking or not, you know? So I'm glad he was able to clear the air.
I love Alex and I appreciate the apology.
I'm glad that that didn't drive a wedge between you and Josh. I don't think that it ever would.
But
the fact that it didn't, like, is obviously telling you guys are comfortable with each other. Big thank you to your friend Taylor for just
being Taylor for coming on. And we were not going to, I called her and this was masturbation and sexting and all that wasn't part of the conversation, but I'm glad it was today.
Yeah, it was supposed to be all about the long D's, and then we talked about
the long D's. Well, I think that's probably what set it off for her.
Honestly, it probably was. And then, of course, big thank you to Caroline Lunny for calling in and sharing her side of the Bachelor in Paradise Australia story with Alex. It sounds like they're in a good spot. It sounds like they're both being adults about everything, and they're both in Fort Lauderdale right now, so we'll see what happens. But anything else, Vanessa?
No, that is it, guys. I'm happy to be back. I missed you guys the last two episodes.
Yeah, you took a nice little hiatus there. We missed you as well.
I did, and I was thinking about you while I was driving back to Montreal from Maine. I'm like, oh, this is what Dean probably feels like. So liberating, being in your van and driving around, and it's such like a nice feeling.
I actually wanted to talk to you more about the Maine journey that you just took, but I'll call you later and talk to you about that off air.
Text me.
But thank you so much for being a listener of this podcast. We love you and we appreciate you, and we hope that if anything else, like, you can maybe gain some knowledge, some information, some insight to these types of issues that all of us have on a daily basis. Big thank you to Mark and Easton for being great producers and all their bleeping that they're doing in this episode.
Thanks, guys.
Be sure to tune in next week, where maybe we might suck a little bit less.
Follow Help I Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.